We welcome you to another Ask the Experts teleseminar, a monthly offering sponsored by Altwaters Technology in partnership with Energy Medicine Foundation. We've designed these second Thursday of the month events for busy people who are hungry to learn, but with little time to actually get themselves to a lecture or a seminar. So we've made it easy by bringing some amazing people with fascinating topics to you by phone in the comfort of your home. This is your host, Carol Kepler. If you love animals, you'll love our topic tonight. Talk with your animals. So put your phone on speaker, kick back, and enjoy. Our special guest tonight is an animal communicator, something probably most of you wish you could do, and something Joy Turner says is easily taught. So let's get Joy online. She'll be calling in from Yelm in the state of Washington. Joy, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
Well, bless your heart. We're so glad to have you. Since I've already worked with you on a problem my little schnauzer buddy had, I know our listeners will be fascinated with what you do as an animal communicator. Tell me, how long have you known that you could talk to the animals, or did you have to learn how?
I have actually done this apparently since the day I was born, and the thing I really had to learn was that other people primarily were not doing it.
That's true. Who would think that you could talk to an animal?
And to me, it was who would think that you couldn't. You know, whatever you are used to doing, you assume everyone else is the same.
Of course, and that is so brilliant. That's truly a gift. It's truly a gift. But you said that it can be taught.
It can. I have found that everyone is actually, I actually call this my first language because it was the one that I knew before English. And everyone knows it before English. You're born understanding it. And the thing that happens is most people get taught out of it through education, through schooling, through peer pressure, through things that parents might say like, oh, stop with your imaginary friend things.
That's right.
So we get taught out of it, but it's still there. So when I teach classes, what I teach people to do is remember where to find that inside yourself, because it all happens inside your own self.
And I get asked the same questions as you, as an energy intuitive. So you're an intuitive, too. And as an energy intuitive, people think that only I can do this or a few special people. But I tell them the same thing that you do. It's taught out of us. We're dumbed down. Or else, in our case, they could be too toxic to make the connection, the intuition connection. And so, and we know that it's easily taught. Once people are told that they can do it and are open to it, they can do it, can't they? Isn't that fun?
Yes, absolutely.
So before you leave us today, we want you to give us a few tips on how to do that.
Okay, I'll be happy to.
Okay, not just now. I've got to get more information from you first.
Okay,
thinking back, what kind of question do you get asked most often? I called you myself for a behavior problem with my dog, Buddy.
Yes, and there's actually a few things that I get questions about the most. One would be behavior.
Is that the worst?
Well,
it pushes people, maybe.
It's the one that typically pushes the most buttons, and I can mention a few of them, and then we can go back and talk about each one if you'd like.
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay.
What kind of behaviors?
Literally anything that the people don't like. I mean, it can be something that would be as serious as aggression, or it can be something as simple as they're getting on my couch and I want them to stay off the furniture.
Oh, I'd like to talk to you about that one with Buddy.
Okay.
And, well, both of my dogs, when they have beds, why do they get on the couch?
Well, do you want me to answer that now?
Yeah, tell me.
Okay, well, it can be an individualized thing, but I can tell you generally what happens with behaviors a lot, and we have to remember that animals come to live with us also to teach us and help us grow into being better human beings.
Beautiful.
And so they do that a lot of times by their behaviors. So, for instance, if you and your puppies have actually come because you're kind of such an advanced awareness person, your puppies have come to help you learn to be more inclusive.
Okay.
So part of what they're specifically doing with getting on the furniture is they want to be, in your mind, your equal. And they are, they say, in many ways. But you have these ways that you kind of relegate them to a lesser status.
That's true. I used to not allow my dogs into the living room. And they were really good about that, not this set, but others. And I had Louise Hay in my home once for a day, and she said, why are you doing that? And so we decided she was absolutely right, and they should be allowed to come in the living room, but not on my furniture.
See, and this is true of so many behaviors. We will relegate them to something other than, if they were a human child, would you allow them on the furniture, for instance?
Absolutely. Oh, not with their feet.
So you would not allow a human child on the furniture with their feet?
Not to stand on the furniture.
Okay, so what I would suggest, since they are trying to teach you, find out what it is about them being on the furniture with your feet that you dislike, and see if it's a limit in how you think about things.
Well, it gets the furniture dirty. Actually, doggies get furniture dirty, too, just with their furry coats.
They do, and you know your buddy. He would sit here and argue with you. In fact, he's arguing with you in my head, but I'm not sure you want to go down that direction at this point.
Oh, you're too much.
So I can give you some general ideas,
yes, please,
of what to do about pretty much any behavior. If there is a reason that you want it, and let's say, for instance, Buddy doesn't think your reason is a good one, which he doesn't, but let's just say it. You understand that his reason is different than your reason. And this is the kinds of things you would say to them. You would speak slowly to them and make as many pictures in your mind as you can. So you basically, the process is, you would acknowledge that they can have their own thought and their thought can be different than yours. And then you would tell them what you want and why you want it. And then, if you're still not finding that they're agreeing with you, you can always ask them to help you. Because most animals who live with a human love to be able to be of service to that human. And if you say things like, well, I know it's my limit, I know it's about dirty couches, and I know that that may be a silly thing to you, to me it's important for some reason, so could you please help me with that?
I like that. I can do that, Joy.
Very often, they will, just because they want to help you, and they'll try to teach you whatever the lesson was in a different fashion.
Okay.
And there's always, in behavior, there's always a give and a take. There's a your thought and a their thought. And so a lot of what I do is I try to say, okay, now we know your thought, like we just found out your thought. I know Buddy's thought, and then I'll try to find a compromise that says, for instance, you've already compromised. You've done the whole allowing them into the living room thing. So that is a compromise. You see that?
Yes. And however, with different dogs.
Yeah, these guys have always been allowed in the living
room.
Yes,
they have. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't necessarily see it as a compromise.
But
you could say, you know, I am making improvement in these thoughts of being equal, because a lot of animals today have come to their humans to teach equality.
That's beautiful.
You know, stop looking at me like a lesser thing. I'm equal to you.
Mm-hmm. That is a whole different way of thinking about animals. I never thought of it that way. But I see what you're saying. And all my animals are special. They are special. And
yes.
I see that. And they probably think they are as good as I am.
Well, and you know, it's not so much as good as it just is equal. Because if you look
at the souls
are all the same. There's no souls that are better or lesser.
I believe that.
The souls are all equal, so it's our statement about things that make them less or more.
Mm.
And behaviors are a very interesting thing. Do you want some examples?
Sure.
Of ones I've worked with?
Yes, please.
Okay, for instance, I was working with a gentleman who actually called into one of my radio shows and said he had a dog that would chew on his girlfriend's things. Didn't matter. It was as long as it belonged to his girlfriend. When they were gone, he would chew on her thing, not the man's thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would come home, he would yell at the dog, put the dog out in the backyard. And this dog was a lab, so he said, you know, what's going on here? How do I fix it? And when I talked to the dog, he did not see being in the backyard as a detriment because he was a lab. He loved being outside. So it's like, okay, fine. I chew on this girlfriend's stuff because he was jealous. And he got to go outside. So it all worked out for him. So what I explained to this gentleman was you have to talk to them about consequence. So basically what I did was, and the gentleman followed through as I suggested, I explained to this dog that the reason he was being put outside was to push him away from the pack because he had done something that was unacceptable, and puppies are always ousted out of the pack by the leader when they do something that's unacceptable. And, of course, they're allowed back in, but they are put out. So the gentleman called me back a little bit later and said he repeated that to his dog 3 times. And because the dog understood why he was being put out, he stopped chewing on the girlfriend's thing.
That is amazing. And it certainly makes sense. That's so exciting. What you're doing is so exciting. And it's going to help an awful lot of people, I can tell. I would imagine that when pet owners have a sick or injured animal, that they might want to have help to know whether to try to save them. And that could be a trauma to the animal, and it could be costly, or to put them down. So you have also worked with that.
I do. I actually work with that quite a bit because that is another, in the health area, that is one of the primary health-related questions.
Really?
It is because, well, it's always incredibly traumatic for the human to think of taking the life of the one that they love so
dearly. Of course. It certainly is.
And people are always telling me, well, I don't want to do it too soon, but I don't want to do it too late. Or if the animals, if they've already had to put them down, they're feeling guilt, wondering, did I do it too soon or did I do it too late? So I can also talk to the animals once they've crossed. And we work on that. With the ones that are still in their body, I will actually ask the animals. And a lot of them give me the same criterion of how people can know when it's time to leave. And essentially, the general things that the dogs or the cats or the horses or whoever it may be say to me is when you look in their eyes and they don't appear to be there anymore, when the eyes look vacant, or when the quality of life has really deteriorated to a point where, for instance, they might just be lying around and doing nothing and they were very active before. And those types of things, or, for instance, if they were to stop eating for a long period of time.
Those are clues, right?
Those are clues to people that they're ready or getting ready to leave.
Also incontinence, perhaps?
Not so much incontinence. Animals don't look at illnesses the same way that we do.
Mm-hmm.
They see things that are going on in their body more as just kind of how their body is working at the moment. And oftentimes people will call me and say, well, can you tell me how they're feeling? And they say, well, we're feeling fine. And the person will come back and say, well, what about this or this or this? And what happens is when there is something chronic going on with the body of an animal, they assimilate that into how they are. And if that then becomes their normal, when I ask them how they are, they say, oh, we're fine.
I see.
You know, yes, we may have some arthritis and we have trouble with walking on a leg, but they don't see it as that.
Mm-hmm.
To them, it's their normal, so they say, oh, we're fine. So they don't really judge the illnesses that are going on in their bodies most of the time. And so they're not, in many times, they're not experiencing pain the way we think they are, and they're also not suffering in the way that we think they might be, because they don't judge what's happening in their body as a bad thing. They just see it as the way it is.
I am concerned that that animals aren't allowed to die on their own, that they're put down mostly. And so we had a Pom that was 13 years old. It was a rescue. And I think we had her about 5 or 6 years. And she was, I had to carry her outside to potty. And she wasn't eating, you know, all of the things that you said. And so I could tell it was near the end, and I sat with her one night, and it was late, and it was about 11 o'clock, and I kept on petting her and telling her she was doing a good job. And I had her wrapped in my in my bathrobe, And she expired. I mean, she stopped, she breathed slower and slower and stopped breathing. But as an intuitive, I got she wasn't in pain. She was really healthy. It just was her time to go. Would it be better to put a dog down at an old age like that as opposed to letting them go on their own?
That's actually going to depend on the animal, because some animals, just like humans, you might have a very difficult time letting them go, and they may have a very difficult time letting go of the physical aspect of being with you. And then I do have animals that say, yes, they do need help.
To go.
To go.
Very
often, they don't. And the thing that a lot of people miss, including every vet I have ever known of, completely misses the fact that there is a lot of spiritual growth happening within the soul at that whole transitional phase and what happens during that whole transitional phase. So with you, for instance, your puppy was completely wanting to do that, but she knew that you could deal with it.
It just seemed the right thing to do, and
yes.
I guess maybe we have to go with that. We do have a formula. We have 34 single formulas. One of them I did specifically for this, not just for people, but I decided we could use it for animals. We call it transitions, and you mentioned that word.
Yes.
And it helps both the person who is, you know, going through this with their pet and with the animal to transition. It really, really works. It's water-based formula. You just put it in the animal's mouth, the dropper, squeeze it, you know, and give them five droppers or two or whatever you intuit they need, and yourself also.
Yes.
You need to do it for both of us. I know, just like people, I guess animals do resist. And it's really nice if people could call you and tell you what they were going through and their animal, and you could give them that information. It would help an awful lot. How about on the other side? Have gone to the other side, have died. Tell what's going on over there?
I can. I can actually still speak to them when they're on the other side.
I love it.
And often another huge amount of calls that I get comes from people with animals who have crossed over, and the human is feeling somehow incomplete with the experience. So maybe they're guilt-ridden because they thought the dog wasn't sick and it was sick, for instance. Or maybe they think, gosh, I should have put that horse down years ago and
yes.
I didn't, and was I being selfish? Or,
yes.
Gosh, I put him down too early and maybe I should have waited.
Yes.
We get all of those kinds of questions when we talk with the animals, and primarily they come back with essentially one kind of criterion that they look at and say, if you did this, then everything was perfect, even because they're incredibly forgiving. And as long as what you're doing out of love for them, and you're doing the best that you know how in the moment, which means even maybe the next day you had a different idea that may have been better, in the moment you did the best you knew how, then everything is perfect for them because you're doing it from love. And that's really what the animals are focused on, is the love between you.
You said that you deal with health problems, if an animal has health problems.
I do.
For instance, what kind of cases do you have that come in with animals that are ill?
Gosh, pretty much anything. I get a lot of calls because I'm kind of like a
last resort
for people.
Absolutely.
And so often, for instance, they'll have taken their animal to several vets, and the vets can't figure out what's happening, but obviously there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I will talk to the animals and ask them to show me what they're feeling like. They can actually send to my body the feelings that they're having.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will tell the person what they're feeling and where they're feeling it, and they can then take that information to their vet. Or sometimes the animals actually say, oh, it's something, and they name something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can give you an example of that. For instance, I was working with a woman that had golden retrievers, and of course I have golden retrievers, so they are kind of my pet dog, so to speak, no pun intended. And she had one that was having a lot of trouble limping on one of his legs. And the vets checked the knee and the foot and the hip and all of those kinds of things, could not find anything that was causing this dog to limp. So she brought him to me, and I asked him to show me what his body was feeling like, and I was feeling a pressure in my spine. So I suggested to her that she take her dog to back to the vet and tell him to stop looking at the hip and the sacral joints and the, you know, all those things at that specific location, and look about midway up the spine. And he did that, and what they found was a lump that was pressing on nerves in the spine.
Wow, how about that?
And that was causing the whole feeling that was going on in the back leg. So they actually could do surgery. They took the lump out, and the dog walked fine, and the surgery healed, and everything was wonderful. He just had this lump, and people weren't looking in the right place.
And I understand that because vets are trained, like doctors are trained, and as an energy intuitive, we do work with animals, and I could just key in to a root cause, as you did. You had a feeling in your body. It comes in my head, and we work with numbers, so I can tell how serious it would be, a negative 9 or a positive 10. We're quite alike, both of us. And so this is really fascinating for me to understand that. It makes me understand what you're doing better.
Perfect.
Because I'm just doing it in a different way.
Yes.
And in other words, everyone is intuitive.
Yes.
And they can use it with their animals or on themselves and to keep their lives going properly. I can see that the world is going to be better as we go and learn these things, and as more people work with them, try them out, it's going to be a whole lot better. Can't you see that?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes. And you have products for animals, too, for pets, don't you?
I actually recommend other people's products.
Okay.
So I don't have them myself because I don't want to get in a conflict. For instance, I can recommend alt waters for different things. And I would rather send the people to, for instance, yourself.
Well, you have enough to do.
Well,
for one thing.
I also don't want people thinking things that I know they think about others who do have products they sell.
I see.
That is that I'm pushing whatever it is because it's something I'm selling and making money from.
Of course. And there are some good things out there.
Yes.
Not a lot, but there are some good ones. And,
yes.
And you have a line of those on those good things.
I do.
That's good. So people can ask. That's good to know. Okay, now you have to tell us all the different kinds of animals you have dealt with. Probably cats and dogs most.
Cats, dogs, horses are the primary ones. I've dealt with pretty much many, many different kinds of birds, both domesticated and wild.
Mm.
I've dealt with snakes, and I actually even had one gentleman contact me about carpenter ants.
No kidding.
Truly, he didn't want to kill the ants. They were in his parents' cabin in the mountains, and he wanted them to leave. So we've talked to carpenter ants and a lot of the little crawly things like mice and moles and voles and those kinds of things.
That's so good to know.
We've talked to bees. We talked to pretty much everybody.
Tell me about bees, because we are in Phoenix are having a really hard time with bees recently. Bad, bad experiences. People find them in their yards and get bitten or stung, and sometimes to death. I mean, it's really been bad. What's that all about?
So these are probably what we're calling the killer bees?
I guess.
I have not found that particular strain of bee pays any attention. They are pretty much, we are doing whatever the you-know-what we want to, and you can't do a thing about it.
Right.
So they are incredibly headstrong. I have, however, dealt with other varieties of bees and wasps and things like that that are more of our normal domesticated, in our country, not necessarily even domesticated, but in our country, normal types of bees and wasps. And they tend to think as one mind, which probably isn't going to be very strange of a consideration for most people. And they are very unit-oriented, and they're very reasonable, actually. If you can give them a place to be, and a place that they can be comfortable with, they often are very happy to move to that place. And the way that happens, and actually the way I work with all animals, is not through telling or pushing or saying you have to or get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It's an air of cooperation. For instance, with bees, I would say, okay, the humans are here, you're right here, for instance, in their attic, let's say. And that creates an issue because maybe somebody in the house is allergic or whatever.
Or frightened,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So I tell them why, and I say, there is this place over here that they would be happy to have you be, do you think you could consider moving over there? And they might, for instance, say, well, it's drier here all the time because, of course, they'll be under the roof. So then I might say to the person, could you build a little something over there that they could be under that would be dry all the time? Because, of course, here in Washington, it rains often.
Yes.
So we make compromises like that, and quite often they are very happy to do that. I can tell you about the ant man. What the ant told me for him is that they understood that he was being loving and kind to them by not wanting to kill them, and they would make this agreement with him that if he would take some kind of an ant repellent, or if actually what they meant was poison, and sprinkle it around the house, we told them, they said we would tell all the other ants that anyone that crosses that and wants to come into the house may die. And if you want to die, you can basically do that, or you can stay away from there and live. Because the ant consciousness said, oh, we make so many ants, you could kill as many of us as you wanted to, and we'd still have more than you want. So some species like that are not at all concerned about our, for instance, in this case, the gentleman wanted to fog the cabin, but he didn't want to kill the ant.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times they're just not concerned because they make so many.
So you have to deal with it on an entirely different level.
Exactly.
How beautiful is that?
And I had the same experience when I first moved to my house in Woodinville, Washington, 20 or so years ago. There were slugs all over the place. Literally, you could not put your foot down without stepping on a slug. Which, for those of you that know about slugs, I just kind of go,
yes,
about that. So I did the same thing. I was on 10 acres of woods, and I said, you know, could we just please keep you out of this area? I had certain ornamental bushes that I wanted, and I did the same thing. I said, I will align around those bushes to say, please leave this one alone. And within just a few weeks, there were hardly any slugs, and only two crossed the slug bait line and died. And that lasted me for the 20-some-odd years that I lived in that house.
Are you good, lady?
I don't
You are
know.
So good.
Listen.
And now I'd like to know, what's your secret to talking to an animal? Since we work with Buddy, and I have to, you know, let me just tell our listeners, my Buddy is a rescue dog from Tucson. The people were not... didn't want him anymore. He was only 15 months old. Gorgeous pedigreed schnauzer. And my daughter-in-law went down and picked him up. And he was not terribly healthy, although he was very gorgeous. And we got him healthy, but he seemed fine at the beginning, except he was chewing everything. But I guess that was the puppy thing. And that gradually disappeared. However, he was wetting in the house. That was very traumatic to me. And so I called you, Joy, and you talked with him. I had Buddy nearby, and you talked on the phone and told me about what you said Buddy was thinking. And he was thinking that you said on my list of priorities, he was last. And I said, yep, that's right. I have to go to work early. I don't have time to brush him every day. I haven't had time to walk him as often as we were walking every morning, and then I couldn't. And I knew he was upset with me. And so you told me what to do, and we did it, and he is wonderful. He has matured, and I tell him every day when I go, and I am doing all the right things. We're walking after work now, and I put my clothes in his bed so that he knows I'm there, and that has helped a lot. And he is he has been so good, and I just think that now I would like to be able to. I talk to him. I tell him every day when I leave, buddy, you're going to take care of the house and the kitty and Ruffles, and I'll be back before it gets dark. And I'm doing what you suggested, putting it in pictures, trying to do it in pictures. It is working. I would very much like to know how do you pick up his thinking, his thoughts?
Okay. Well, as I explained to you, animals think in pictures, words, and feelings, as well as all of the other, any external sense we have, we also have internally. So, for instance, they can send smells, and you can pick up smells, or you can send them smells. So any way that you can talk to them, which is primarily the pictures, words, and feelings, because those are the easiest ones for humans to access, they also send back to us, since that is their primary mode of communication. And the problem that most people have is that they are so into their head, so into their mind, their intellect, they don't notice more subtle things about what's going on with themselves. So the first thing I always tell people is, the first thing you have to do is realize you can get it, because most people are in the headspace of, oh, I can.
Of course.
So the first thing you have to do is say, yes, it's natural, it's normal, of course I'm getting this. And people all know that because I ask questions in classes, for instance, have you ever just out of the blue decided, oh, you needed to go check your dog's water dish and or something like that, and you found that it was empty, and everyone says, oh, yes, well, that's that communication coming to you. You're just not necessarily separating it out from your own consciousness.
Oh, yes,
so
I like that.
The way I teach people how to separate that out is to start with, and this can become a pattern, so it isn't something you have to always do, but to start with, before you talk to them about something, check your own self, because the communication happens inside you, not outside you. So you would check your own body and see what your body is feeling like. You would check your thoughts and see what kinds of thoughts you're having.
About your pet right now.
Or about anything, truly. But yes, about your pet.
Mm-hmm.
You would also check your emotions and see what kind of emotions you're having at the moment. And then you would talk to your animal companions and ask them whatever it is you want to ask them. And note, on a very subtle level, I tell people it sounds like a whisper, not someone shouting at you, which is how a lot of people want to get it.
Of course.
But it's much more the soft, subtle whisper. And what changes inside you is the thing that your animal companion is sending to you. And then the next thing you have to do is act on whatever change you're getting. So, for instance, if you ask your dog, either dog that you have, what they want to eat, and you all of a sudden think, and you think of something to eat, well, that's them sending you that answer. So then the way your subconscious mind lets more information like that through to you is by you acting on what you get.
I love it. And it might be happening to me without my knowing it,
Because
when I'm on my way home, I'm thinking of them.
Yes.
And whenever we pull into the driveway, which is different times, always, they're always there at the window, looking out.
Yes, they're always aware of where you are.
That's amazing. Some lady said, I think my dog knows how to tell time, but I knew that wasn't right. And also my cat is there waiting. She'll jump over the wall and, you know, as soon as we drive in the driveway and roll in the dirt in front of me.
The connection is always there.
I love it.
24 hours a day. So just like if you wanted to, and I do this, for instance, let's say I'm doing an event and it's away from my home. And when I'm done, which is usually at some time, and I tell them when it should be over, but sometimes, of course, they run over by quite a bit. And so when I'm on my way home in my car starting to drive, I will connect with all of my kids and say, okay, guys, I'm on the way home. I should be there about whatever is when I should be there. And they all get that. So we can get the same thing. So from them, it's just a matter of paying attention to what's happening inside us. Another thing people tend to want to do is they want to project out to, for instance, where their animal physically is, and they try to send the thought over to their animal kids, for instance. It doesn't happen like that. This communication is all like, I like to say, it's like a radio that's going on. You're either sending or you're broadcasting, but when you're trying to pick up a radio station, you don't have to go move your radio to the place where the station is. You just tune your dial to that frequency.
Very good. That certainly makes sense.
And it works the exact same way when you're talking with animals.
You just tune in. You're tuning into them.
Exactly. That's whenever you think about them, you're automatically consciously connecting with them.
And I have heard that when you're on vacation, that it's probably not a good idea to be worrying about your animal.
That's true. Because anytime, if you're worried about something, it's going to, even if they would ordinarily worry, if you're worried, it's going to exaggerate what they're feeling. And, for instance, I get in the way of they think what we think. I get calls often where people will say, well, are they feeling okay? How are they? Are you sure they're feeling okay? And the animals will essentially respond back to me, well, we thought we were, but does their person not think so?
Very good.
So they do follow our thoughts a lot.
This is so amazing, all the things you're saying, and so much fun. We're just going to take a little short break here right now, Joy, so that we can remind our listeners that this is a whole new concept in education, a seminar by phone in the comfort of your home. SE Experts is brought to you by Alt Waters Technology, manufacturers of the planet's first system of frequency-imprinted energy medicine formulas, medicine of the future here today. And we are working in partnership with Energy Medicine Foundation, a local 501c3. So if you enjoy these free health and wellness events, you can thank our supporters by checking out their businesses or organizations, which we have listed online at altwaters.com/networking for you. You'll also find our countercards listing all of the upcoming events at these organizations and businesses. So check them out. Find out what the next events are coming up. And we do hope you'll join us every month for our second Thursday events. Our show next month is about a unique way of working with the body that goes way beyond exercise, a special style of yoga that you might say saved Alma Estefano's life. There are many kinds of yoga, and this one is Kriya Yoga. Wait till you hear Alma's story, the second Thursday of next month. And now back to the show, and Joy Turner, an animal communicator calling in from Yelm, Washington. Joy Turner, we're ready to hear more.
Okay, where do you have a place you'd like me to go next?
Well, you know what, let's take, we have a lot of listeners online who are just listeners, but we have had a couple of questions come in that I would like to tell you about, see what you have for answers. And also someone who called us and told us of a problem with their dog. Didn't get it registered online in time. But let's start with Sandy. And Sandy asked, I'm fostering a 5-year-old Pomeranian, Teddy, who's been abused, lived in a crate for 3.5 months, and then given up due to foreclosure. What do I need to know to help Teddy heal?
Okay, and do you happen to know Sandy's city and state?
She is in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay, there he is. I always like to know city and state because there's lots of Sandys and lots of Teddies out there, and I want to be sure I have the right combination.
Very good.
Okay, so Teddy basically has not found humanity to be a very reliable thing for him, and so he's not very secure or very sure about them. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Good reason.
Yes. And the other thing is he's always been in the crate. He hates being in that crate. He feels like he doesn't ever get to use any of his energy. It's kind of become almost a prison for him and a sanctuary at the same time. So it's a very confusing time for Teddy. What I would suggest Sandy does is spend time just around him and let him come to her. He needs to heal mentally and emotionally.
Mm.
And be kind to him, be loving to him, but let him come to her. He feels a lot less threatened when I show him those kinds of things rather than having her go to him. So as much as she can just be in his presence so that he can get used to the fact that she's kind and loving instead of other ways, the more it's going to be beneficial for him and the more it's going to draw him out. The other thing I would not do for him, because he really does not respond to pushing, like, oh, come on, Teddy, come on, everything's safe, you know it's fine, this is a good house, you're safe here, we love you, all of that he shuts off at. Even though from us it's a very wonderful thing that we're saying, to him he experiences it as pressure.
Okay. That's so good.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
So I would just sit there, because Teddy is very, very sensitive to energy. I would sit there in the energy of safety. Not even I am safe, just safe. And let him pick up on that. And Carol, actually, you may have some kind of a formula that can help him ease this a little bit better, because a lot of it is going to be an energetic shift that occurs for him.
Actually, I'm picking up, I have a formula called Braveheart for people and animals who are timid, and I'm picking up his insecurity, I'll say the word that you said, insecurity on a scale of negative 10, where you don't want to be, to a positive 10, is a negative 9, and she's had him for some time now, and so the Braveheart formula, we would put 5 droppers in his mouth or on his food twice a day for, I'm getting just 3 days, and there's 7 days worth in the 2-ounce bottle. And it's water-based, so they like it. In fact, my animals lap it up when they see the dropper coming near their mouth. They stick out their tongues and lick it. It would take 3 days, and his sense of insecurity would go from a negative 9 to a positive 10. How about that?
That would be totally astounding.
That would. I'm going to call Sandy and tell her. In fact, I know she's listening, so we've got that one. Let me tell you that Sandy is an amazing person. She's a real estate person and is busy, busy, busy like you, and she still has time to help animals, take in foster animals. And she had another one, Lucy. Lucy's a 13-year-old poodle who doesn't move much and has to be carried outside to potty. I feel she's leaving me. Oh, here we go. Joy. She's healthy, but how does she feel about passing over? This is the same Sandy.
The same Sandy.
And her little, and this little poodle that she has taken in is 13, Lucy.
Okay. Lucy says she's really worried about leaving because she thinks it's going to be too hard on Sandy. And so she wants to stay around as long as she possibly can to help Sandy.
Wow. Don't you love that?
Well, you know, they are incredibly loyal and dedicated to us. And she's okay with that. She's not experiencing anything at this particular moment that she feels is so terrible that she would say, okay, well, this is too much. I can't stay here because of this.
Yeah.
And she wants Sandy to know that she could have some fairly extreme even levels of discomfort, and it still would not outweigh her feeling of wanting to stay here for Sandy. So I'm going to suggest to Sandy that as much as she can, I would first of all appreciate Lucy and tell her how much she appreciates that she loves her that much, and that she would want to stay around. And if Sandy can possibly do it, I would have her tell Lucy that Lucy needs to do what's in her highest and best interest, and that Sandy will get through it, and she will be okay.
Wow, that is so beautiful.
Because often animals will stay past when they might have originally gone because we need them. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a wrong thing.
Mm-mm.
It's not a thing for people to feel guilty about. It's just the way the relationship is between them.
Well, Sandy is a very special person, so she'll love to hear that. The call that came in was for a Sharpei, that was a rescue from the pound, and she's about six. Her name is Shirley. And I have seen this and experienced this myself when I saw that dog. When they got her, she had a huge scar in her side. She had an open wound on her chest, which they took her right away to the vet and got repaired. And every time they say that they put their hand near this dog's face, even though she's been with him about a year, she winces terribly. She winces. And, you know, what is she feeling and what should they do is what the question was. It's sad. It's really sad to them to have her still wincing when they love her so much.
I can understand that. Is she also in Arizona?
She is in Arizona, in Peoria, or Glendale. Glendale, I think.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Shirley has had such a terrible time until she came to your friends that she thinks she has so much what we would call baggage, she calls wounds.
Yes.
That she's not sure how to let some of them get fixed. And I would suggest to your friends, from feeling Shirley, that a year is not even close to being enough. It's more like a day.
Okay.
So if they could readjust their thought of things, because to them a year is a long time,
mm-hmm.
She has to, the whole process that she needs to go through is she has to stop negatively going into negative energy. You know, what negative energy will have its own spiral, just like positive
mm-hmm,
energy
mm-hmm,
does.
Mm-hmm.
So in this year, what she's done is stopped going in that negative spiral and begun to turn around, which, feeling the depth of what was going on with her, I think is amazing that she could do that in one small, short little bit a year. Sometimes animals that I see can take lifetimes to get past that kind of trauma.
That makes sense. And we do work with past lives, with both animals and people, and have the frequencies in the formulas. So I am getting, because of what you have just said, we have a formula called Well Pet, which is basically their nutrition. And it's seven formulas in one. So it does parasites, and it does personality problems, and it works with calcification and things that are animal things and past lives. But I can see that I could add frequencies for abuse / trauma, and the dog get the dog to take it through water. And I'm getting it would take a whole 7 days, a whole bottle of this formula Well Pet. And I will do that. I'll do that today. We have formulas that are still open. We can still add frequencies if there's a specific case that we don't have anything for. And this one is a really sad case, and I would love to be able to help that dog. And can you imagine how many other animals have been abused like this?
Absolutely. And I have to tell you, I have talked to a lot of rescued animals, and a lot of them have come from very abusive backgrounds. She seems to be one of the most abusive backgrounds.
I can just imagine when I see this scar on her back leg, it's like a rip. It's like they ripped the fur down. And you know, just really too terrible.
Yeah, it's just
we're going to
really
do that. That's the trauma from abuse. from abuse, and maybe even Teddy, the little dog Teddy, this would help that one.
It might, yeah.
Wow.
One of the things that you could tell your friend about Shirley is going to lengthen the time frame in her mind. For instance, feeling Shirley and not taking into consideration the effects that your remedies may have on her, but feeling her, she could take a whole lifetime to ease out of this particular burden, but let me give you a little spiritual peace for Shirley.
Okay.
Shirley's soul has apparently gone through this type of experience a great number of lifetimes, and she's really wanting to release that frequency out of her that draws that, because, of course, we have frequencies in us that draw experiences to us. She's really wanting to release that frequency in this particular lifetime. So she would be, as a soul, delighted if she could release that frequency in the whole lifetime, much less release it quicker, and then have some of this lifetime to experience love from a more direct route. Because your friends should understand, she can't actually take the love in directly.
That's true, because they really love on that dog. Kiss her and hug her, and she sleeps in their bed.
Yes. And some of that, because it has to filter through all of these other experiences that she's had, she gets a very convoluted, distorted form of that. So let's say they may be sending her love at a 10, and that's the highest. She's receiving maybe a 1 or a 2. Because she filters the rest of that out. Not intentionally, but it's kind of like sending water through some kind of like sand or something. Some of it's going to get absorbed along the way. And so she's not experiencing the direct 10-to-10 relationship. And that's why it's maybe taking longer than your friends think it should take.
Right. I saw the wincing. And you just get near her face and she winces.
Yeah, so I would suggest, again, along with what you're going to do to help them with the formula, I would suggest that they not do that because they're not going to want to trigger the past experience.
Stay away from her face.
Stay away from her face. Anything that she would wince like that, any place that anything that would cause her to kind of be similar now to the past, I would stop doing for a period of time.
Oh, they kiss her on her forehead and rub her ears, scrub her ears, and
as long as she's okay with that.
Oh, she is?
Then I would go ahead with that, but anything that they do that makes her wince is putting her back into the thought of where she'd been.
Sure.
So I would stop those things.
Wow, I am so excited with what you're doing. An hour's almost gone, Joy Turner, and I still have questions. But first, I'd like to share with you what keeps coming through. As an energy intuitive, I'm getting that you are what is known as a crystal child. These are very special people who have a heart for the weak and helpless. We'll often find them working with animals. For instance, some of the best veterinarians and some of the best horse trainers are crystal, and often crystal children work in the health fields and with children and elders. So I that just has been coming through really strong for me since the beginning of the show, and I just wanted to let you know you are very special.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
And you keep yourself pretty busy, special lady. I know you help us here at Alt Waters by answering questions for people who write in to our altwaters.com, talk with your animals, and it's free. How wonderful is that? And our clients with pet problems just love that service. You also work out of your own 5 acres. I understand you have 5-acre space to work, and it must be your home, kind of like a ranch, sounds like.
Well, I have horses. I have 4 horses, so they need land.
Oh, I guess. So how do you work your business? You take calls from people, or they email you?
Most of the time, we schedule sessions, and the scheduling can happen either through my website, through calling me, or through emailing me. The sessions are typically done over the phone because I do have clients all around the world, and, of course, most of them don't want to come all the way to
That's
email
right.
session. So,
we do have the same problem.
Exactly. So they are done mostly over the mm-hmm. phone. I do local events, and people can find me there. I also do two radio shows that people can call in, and the radio shows are a service that I give back to the community, so there's no charge for those. But, of course, the private sessions are my life's work, and there is a fee for that because everybody has to have money to live with.
Okay. Can you tell us what that is?
It is. Yes, I can. It's 30 minutes, increments of 30 minutes. So you can have 30 minutes, an hour. You can have 10 hours if you wanted. And it's $75 per 30 minutes.
You can do an awful lot in 30 minutes.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
And I do accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover card for convenience.
So they can call or go online?
They can call or
mm-hmm.
go online.
Anytime, and you'll get back to them.
I will.
Mm-hmm. And you also say that you have classes.
I do. I have classes. I have three classes. I have beginning, intermediate, and advanced. The beginning class is September of every year, not always the same weekend, but it's always a two-day weekend. The first day, we learn all of the theory and the philosophy behind the way I communicate, which is apparently different than any other communicator anybody has ever told me about that they've gone to a class for. And the second day, people get to bring their animals with them, and everyone gets to talk one animal at a time while I help them fine-tune their reception skills.
And obviously, you don't do this over the phone.
I don't do this over the phone. However, if there are people other places than here in Washington that would want to have a class and they can gather 12 people, for instance, we can discuss about my traveling to their location to give the class.
How excellent is that? I wish I were closer to you, like in Washington.
Well, I can travel. If you've got 12 people, call me and we can set up something to have that work out.
Well, actually, we will mention that to our people. We so much appreciate the time you spent with us tonight, Joy. You're doing such a great service for both animals, and I understand that you work with people, too.
I do. I talk to souls and spiritual guides, so if there's issues going on in a human's lifetime, then we can talk to their guides and find out what that's all about and what they can do to change it.
You know, we just have to thank you for being you.
Well, thank you.
Bless your heart.
I'm so honored to be having you call and have me be part of this whole experience.
Well, I can't even remember how we met, but I'm certainly glad it happened. You've been listening to Ask the Experts with Joy Turner, an animal communicator, and let's not forget people, too. You can register for the next Second Thursday event online at altwaters.com or call us at 602-996-9753. You also can go online at energymedicinefoundation.com and register there for us under events. And when you register, you can leave a question, if you like, for Amma Estefano this time. And her topic on Want to Change Your Life? Better check in on Kriya Yoga. If you'd like to share this information with friends and family, you may order a CD for just $10 by calling Alt Waters Technology at 602-996-9753. That's 602-996-9753. This is Carol Kepler, your host, wrapping up another amazing evening of learning. We hope you'll join us again next month. And tell a friend. Blessings until we meet again.